Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing this week in our study on the subject of love. We have begun this new year of 2002 by focusing on what I consider the greatest call of the Christian life, and that is to live and walk a life of love, to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. As dear children, we are to walk in love because God Himself is love. We have been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which has been often called the love chapter of the Bible. And here in this amazing chapter, we are given a very clear view of the attributes of love, what love looks like in action. And love is an action, and love is a choice. It is not an emotion, a feeling. It is a choice of our will to obey the Lord and to tap into the agape, unconditional love that's been poured out in the hearts of each and every believer. If you are a born-again Christian, God has already deposited in your heart His love, according to Romans 5:5. And this love is unconditional love. This love is powerful. This love never fails. This love never gets tired of responding in love, even to those who are unlovable or treat us in an unloving fashion. So if your commitment is to live a life of love, which is that high call of the Lord on our lives, then this study will help you immensely. Jesus Himself said in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then we find in Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, these words of Christ: "Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What two commandments was He referring to? In this particular passage of the Gospels, the Pharisees had asked Him, what was the most important law? Jesus had replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it," He said, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus was pointing out that the law of love was primary. It was number one. It was the most important law that there was. Love God and love your neighbor. And then in John 13, verse 35, Jesus said these unforgettable words: "By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." This is the way that it will be obvious to the whole world that you are truly a Christian, that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ by your love. Let me ask you this question: how's your love life? Is your life demonstrating this most important fruit of the Spirit? Love should be the most obvious and the most prevalent fruit in your life. 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse, 13, says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." These scriptures make it very clear that God wants us to major in love in our lives. So what does love look like? We have been studying these attributes in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read to you from verse 5, and we will focus on the very last part of this verse today. In the Amplified Translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we find these words: "Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. This last part, that love takes no account of the evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong, is the part I want to focus on today. In the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament, he writes it this way: love does not keep account of evil. In the Weymouth translation, we find it written this way: love is not mindful of wrongs. This can be said this way, that a person who walks in love does not keep in their mind the wrongs of other people, wrongs done to it, or wrongs that other people have committed towards other people. If you walk in love, your mind is not filled with what other people's shortcomings have been in life, what other people's failings have been, what other people's sins have been. If you are going to walk in love, you can't be keeping an account, a running account in your mind of other people's sins, whether against you or just against others. Let's talk about this for a few minutes, because this is a critical attribute of this agape love of God. God, as I said earlier, is love, from 1 John 4:8. And this type of love, that is the God kind of love, is an unconditional love. That means it loves without requiring certain conditions on the part of the person being loved. Many people in our culture will only love if they are getting love in return. But that's human love. That's carnal love. That is not the love of God being demonstrated in a person's life. The God kind of love, or this agape love, is not dependent on the reactions of the other party. It is not dependent on the actions of the other party. It is not dependent on the other party at all. Indeed, it is very simply love poured out unselfishly toward another human being. This particular passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, where it talks about love does not keep an account of the evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong, this passage of Scripture references a Greek word which means store up, and it's an accountant's term. And it referred to the practice of entering an item in a ledger, of an accountant's ledger, so that it would not be forgotten. A person walking in God's unconditional agape love doesn't keep records or accounts of how many times he or she has been sinned against. God's love, agape love, practices forgiving the sins of other people and forgetting the sins of other people. We are called to forgive and to forget, because this is the type of love that Christ has shown to us. We are told in Hebrews 10:17 that God promised not to remember our sins or to forget our sins. It says in Hebrews 10:17, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." This is a promise from God that every time we ask for forgiveness, that God forgives us, releases us from the penalty of that sin, and then forgets it. In fact, the Bible tells us that God throws our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, He has put our sins away from us. This is a wonderful and a very freeing promise, because it simply means that we can come into God's presence knowing that God Himself, once we've asked His forgiveness, He has released us, and He doesn't see us as a sinner. He sees us as righteous before God because of Christ's righteousness in us. But here's the reason I bring this example before you. That's the way God loves. God loves us enough to forgive us and to release us completely. And he does not allow our past sin to form a barrier in our relationship with him. Have you ever sinned against somebody and then the next time you saw them, there was definitely a barrier between you and that person? God's forgiveness and his love is so great that he releases us, and the barrier that sin would have brought between us is completely removed. So there's freedom. There's a genuine love between you and God without the barrier of sin anymore. God wants us to love other people that same way. When someone has sinned against you, God's call on your life is to forgive them and then not to take or keep an account of that wrong that was done against you. In the natural human person, this is impossible. With human love, it cannot be accomplished. However, the good news and the freeing news for each one of us is that God's agape love, which has been deposited in your heart if you're a born-again Christian, is available to you. You can dip into that resource, that reservoir of the love of God in your own heart, and you can walk in love, not keeping account of the wrongs that have been done against you. This is vital if you're a married person, because without this, you will only increase in difficulty in your marriage, because without a doubt, you are married to an imperfect person. And without a doubt, your spouse is married to an imperfect person. And if you learn how to walk in love, God's agape love, and keep no account of the wrongs that your spouse has committed against you, you will be able to stay fresh and beautiful in your love towards one another. God wants us to walk in love. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, walk in love in 2002.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.